Hello everyone, Shannon Guth here getting you ready for a special exit interview podcast. I got two exit interviews this week with, spoiler alert, click away if you have not watched week 3 of Australian Survivor, but I got Joey and Shannon this week. Unfortunately couldn't get one with Dainey, but I just thought, look, I haven't spoken to Harry yet for the recap, but I assume it's going to be a pretty long chat. I have these done. I'm just going to try to get it out for you guys a little bit quickly so we can start with that and then follow up with the recap later on. So I will leave you with Joey and then at about 17 minutes, Shannon. Hope you enjoy and I will see you on the other side.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans, 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Winter Middle.
Give me the swammer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shkeli.
Aldi. Million rubli.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe
spoke.
The adventure of a lifetime.
The adventure of a lifetime.
Hi Joey, good morning. How are you?
Hey Shannon. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm sad to lose you. You were such a huge character. And I feel like while, you know, The Blind Side was delicious, I have to admit, I feel like we lost out as viewers losing you on the show.
Yeah, look, I'm definitely licking my wounds this morning, Shannon. It was a blind side I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
But let's hope it's a case of gone but not forgotten.
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, you made a massive mark in your time on the show. I have so many questions for you. I just want to jump into it if I can. And we saw you head of the snake. We saw this hierarchy. In your mind, when and how did this hierarchy that we saw of like the four and then Haley and Rachel in the middle and then kind of the people on the bottom, when did that form and how?
Yeah, look, it's a funny thing because it wasn't a planned kind of alliance. It just happened. I think we got there on night one. We went to bed in the dirt. It was freezing cold. We had no fire. I think I probably spent half the night giggling away with Laura and Georgia. And I think it was like we were kids on a school camp. And I think we just woke up the next morning and kind of looked at each other and said, did we just become best friends? And Andrew just sort of fell straight into the fold as well. And then, yeah, like I brought Haley into the mix and Laura brought Rach in. And there was the six that we had.
We saw you as like the head of that alliance. In your mind, was that the case? Was that accurate?
No, definitely not. Look, I like to ham it up a little bit for the cameras. You know, we're on a TV show after all, Shannon,
yeah,
right?
I agree.
So all theatrics aside, look, it was definitely like we're all in it together. We were making the calls together. I think in terms of the actual strategy of some of those calls, I was probably coming up with the strategy, but like it was all a team effort. Like every like it wasn't, yeah, it definitely wasn't me calling the shots, that's for sure.
I'm so interested in your relationship with Haley and Rachel because obviously they come over to your side at the beginning and they're the ones to flip on you. So where do you see your part in that or any part of the relationship where you can explain how, you know, they do choose to go with you as the swing votes last week and then obviously move over in this week?
Yeah, look, I think Rachel and Haley played the middle ground very well. I think they kind of, you know, they would, I'm pretty sure that they were aligned to us, you know, very early in the piece, but I think they also, I think, kind of played off the other alliance, you know, kind of, you know, gave the other alliance some hope that they might be a part of their one, so, or the minority a part of their alliance. But look, at the end of the day, I think Rachel and Haley, we definitely saw them as part of our strong six. I brought Haley into the fold. Like, you know, this is the funny thing, Shannon. Like, my game, like, there was a few self-confessed super fans, George, Mitch, Cara. I was like, you know, I am not a super fan. I'll admit this right now, but like, I am now having played it. But those are three I wanted to get out of there quick smart because they're ones that I could see navigating the game better than others. So, but unbeknown to me, Haley, the biggest super fan of them all, is operating under my very nose. So I think she saw a great opportunity to strike. I think, obviously, if she hadn't found that immunity idol, I think it's a different story. But I think that just gave her the confidence to, yeah, make a move. And I think, yeah, get me out of there. And I think it was a bit of a gamble, like in terms of, you know, the swap, whether or not it was coming next. If it didn't come next, they obviously would have been weakened in the challenge. But, you know, it turns out based on the preview for tonight's episode, she made the exact the right call at the right time to get rid of me because, you know, I had some good banter with the Brawl. Those guys loved me, man. I was wanting to get mixed in with them and taking over the game.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying, I thought you and Simon were like a match made in heaven, and I definitely want to talk about your time on the Braun Tribe. But so did Hayley lie about being a super fan, or did she just like not talk about it a lot? Or what happened there?
Hayley definitely didn't talk about it. You know, I saw Hayley as the great girl next door, you know, from Adelaide. She's a loyal as they come, but she played it so well. Like, again, I had no inkling that she was a super fan. She, you know, really kept that under wraps.
Okay.
Yeah, like, it was really good. Well played.
Yeah, I mean, we saw last night you had like a lot of trust in her. I can totally see how you didn't see that coming. Someone who you might have thought was voting for you is George. You know, we see this volatile relationship to the point where you're calling him like the rotten egg in the garden. We saw quite a bit of it, but from your perspective, how did that get so bad so quickly? Obviously, the advantage must come into that, and it kind of exploded like a rotten egg bite.
Yeah, look, I'll address that in a second because there's a little bit of context probably missing in that whole piece. But look, to be perfectly honest, like, George was a really entertaining character around camp. Like, you know, he's definitely playing a big, bold game, and I respect that. You know, he's not afraid to sort of, you know, hunt for idols under our very noses. He's playing a very bold game, like I said. But I think from my perspective, I actually was probably one of the only ones in camp that didn't actually have a confrontation with him at camp, you know, like, yes, I hammed it up for the cameras somewhat in some of those interviews, but all in all, like, you know, he was definitely someone I saw as a threat and wanted to get out of there. And the whole rotten egg thing, geez, let me give you a bit of context around that, Shannon, because, look, I think it didn't cast a great light on me. But, look, I got back from the Braun Tribe after breaking Lemmingtons and drinking chalky milk with those guys. I came back, I was on cloud nine, and I think when I walked into camp, it was like a atomic bomb had gone off. Everyone was like distraught. Someone who I care about in the game, like a good friend of mine in the game, was very upset because of some bad things that George had sort of said directly to her. And I think that sort of just boiled over in that tribal where the rotten egg remark, because again, like, I'm a loyal guy that's always going to go in and bat for his own. And I think, you know, again, George is playing the game with his heart on his sleeve, and I don't think there was any malice in it, but what he said was just, look, I'm not going to repeat it, but it really just ticked me off, and it did upset me, the fact that he could sort of say something so hurtful. So, look, again, it all happened. Whatever happened out there stays out there. Look, I've got no grudge. Yes, I was talking the talk about rolling his head and dishing it up on a platter, I was saying, but look, again, it is what it is. It's a game. And I respected him as a player of that game.
No, I totally get it. I think you, the Brains and George in general, I think are just like a bad marriage, and that you might bring out the worst in each other. Maybe some things get said that aren't, you know, things that you might regret in the future. But, you know, and then the edit only shows some one side of it. So I totally understand that as well.
Like, I have found George very entertaining to watch. You know, we're not playing MacGyver, this is Survivor. Like, some of his one-liners, I'm the snake oil salesman. It's great entertainment. Like, he's a great addition to the cast this year because, you know, again, those one-liners. But, yeah, he created a lot of division at camp, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to need him, you know, for his confessionals now that we've lost you as well. So he's really going to have to shoulder the load a little bit. And he, you know, he leaves you in that first tribal council. You're one of the ones that's left behind. Can you talk us through what happened there with that, like, shocking Phil vote?
Yeah, look, again, it was one of those just, I've been blindsided twice and I've only been a tribal, four times? Crazy, but look, I think we got left behind, and, you know, I actually saw Phil as someone I wanted to work with. Like, he sort of, I think he had a good strategic brain for the game in the short time I knew him, but he was also quirky and fun, and at the end of the day, I wanted to play this game with fun, good people, and that's, I think, how, like, why my alliance, I mean, we spent more time laughing than, you know, plotting killings, right? So I think it was, we got left behind. We all kind of made a vote. I think I threw the comment out there that, you know, my vote's going to be about self-preservation. And I was sort of looking around and, you know, Hayley, Laura, Andrew, I knew that none of us were sort of putting each other's names down. And Mitch, I just saw, like, it was crazy to get rid of Mitch in episode one when he's, you know, one of our stronger challenge players. So unfortunately, Phil was the collateral damage. And again, it was like I only wrote his name down to say, you know, protect myself to a certain extent.
Yeah, totally see that. I mean, you do vote out Mitch, you know, at the next available opportunity. Can you give us the reasoning there? Because we saw him as like a kind of part of your group, possibly a vote for you. The next day you're wanting to split the vote and Mitch maybe would have helped you with that. So can you talk us through what happened there?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one. I will provide some context because, again, Mitch was a great guy. He was also a guy that probably aligned with Kara very early in the game. I think, you know, we saw a very strong sort of relationship with Kara. And I think I think what spelled Mitch's demise was actually, I think we had our sort of six sewed up, and then I think Andrew kind of let it slip to Mitch because, again, we all got on reasonably well with Mitch, even though we saw him playing both sides. But I think he sort of let it slip that we were going to be going targeting Kara at the Nexus. Look, Kara was the blind side that we were originally planned because we, you know, we had an inkling that George might have an idol. Mm-hmm. And I think, it, you know, to a certain extent, it might have actually got out that he did. I think, you know, whether Wei mentioned it to one of my alliance, but we had a strong inkling. So I think Kara was a blind side. But to a certain extent, I think Andrew telling Mitch that we were targeting Kara, for me, it was like he inadvertently just wrote Mitch's name down because I was like, look, at the end of the day, Mitch is probably going to go tell Kara there's a blind side coming. George could play the idol for Kara, save her, and they've got a free shot at one of us. So Mitch was the shot that no one on that side would see coming.
Mm-hmm.
Probably I didn't want to take it out at that particular time, but it was the only move to make sure that our guys were all safe.
No, I totally see that as well. And then, you know, the next episode, you have to get the numbers to split the vote, and you pull over Wei. Now, she's someone who I think reluctantly does turn on you last night, but I feel like you did a lot of good work there getting her on your side, and we saw that that ended quite quickly in the fact that you were willing to kind of put her on the second and maybe use her as more of a means to an end. Was there any kind of long-term plans for her after that vote, or was that really just done? One episode in, you needed it, and now it was over.
You know, let me. I'd love to talk to this because look, Wei was someone like obviously episode one or you know first tribal. You know, I was going to Wei was the vote I was going to cast. I think then obviously we won some challenges, but what I just saw was just this kind of resilience in Wei. She was just tenacious, and she also had a like in the conversation I had with her, I could see that she, you know, had a really good feel for the game. I don't think she was a super fan by any stretch of the word, but. Strategic, she is just such a smart woman with such a strategic mind, and I think we had a very good alignment there. So Wei, when I kind of threw it out there, I see a dynamic duo forming here. Like I meant it. Like I really wanted to kind of work with Wei and go kind of like if there was swaps and that sort of thing, kind of see where it landed. But I brought, you know, Wei into the fold because I definitely thought she'd be a strong asset. And then it sort of the way it was kind of portrayed was that look we used her for the vote and then we're getting rid of her or having her as the supplementary split the second table. But look, I think we got back from that immunity loss in the night that I went home, and I think I got back to camp and I had no, you know, like I was thinking it would probably be George with Baden as the three votes, and then I remember asking Rachel because probably the two votes or two tribals before that, I'd very much kind of called the shots on those ones around the strategy on it.
Yeah.
This time I didn't want, because I felt like I was drawing a bit of a target on my back. So I sort of threw it out to Rachel. I said, oh, who do you want to vote? And she gave me this very funny look. And I'm a pretty good read of people and situations. And like Wei was probably 2 meters to the right of her and no one else was around. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, I think Rachel is thinking Wei here. And then Haley sort of confirmed to me that, yeah, I think Rach wants to go for Wei. So I was like, look, again, I'm just going to leave this more on to you guys. And even though it had me sort of calling the shot on that one, it was more me kind of just trying to, you know, be the diplomat and kind of play my part is sort of how it went down. But again, I think Haley played it beautifully because then she went to Wei and obviously told her that, you know, she was the split vote. And I think that was probably enough to kind of, get her on side. So again, it's a bit of a shame how it all played out, but again, it was, I think probably getting back from that immunity loss, I think Haley finding that idol obviously spurred her to action. That gave her the confidence to kind of come at me or make a big move. And I think, look, Haley as a super fan knows that you need a resume at the end of this game, right? So I think having me on that resume early is a good pick for her. And yeah, she played it beautifully.
In the vote where Kara went abroad, you know, you put a lot of trust in Wei. You put her on like the first part of the split on George. Were you quite sure that she was voting with you? Did she put a lot of trust in you before you went to tribal council?
Yeah, look, there's quite a few conversations I'd had with Wei in the lead up to that. And I was very confident that she would come across because, again, I think to a certain extent, that tribe was falling to pieces. Probably, you know, I think the vote even that afternoon had changed about five times. And so I just think it was a ship without a rudder. And I think she sort of saw that we were a bit more, you know, kind of united. And obviously the strength in numbers. So yeah. I think, yeah, it all sort of matched up and ticked the boxes for her.
Yeah, I mean, the last person I haven't really asked about on the tribe, I'm interested in Baden because, you know, we see he's not aligned with George in the beginning, so I guess we just assumed he might be with your majority until we found out what those numbers were. And we see some small conversations with you last night talking about working with him. Like, where did he kind of fit into the tribe at a point where he wasn't with you guys but had kind of not been with George until much later on?
Yeah, look, Baden was an interesting one. I think, you know, he was someone that probably was on the outer early because he didn't really make too much of an effort trying to kind of integrate with the tribe in those early stages. And obviously our six just formed, you know, almost from the get-go. In saying that, like, Baden was also someone that, you know, was obviously really strong for us in challenges. I had a pretty good relationship with him, as did others. And I think, look, it's, you know, he was definitely someone if there was going to be tribe swaps and things. And I think to a certain extent, I was kind of probably spreading myself a little bit thin by kind of trying to make sure that I was kind of had a relationship with everyone before a potential swap, because you just never know who you're going to kind of get thrown in with. And I know that obviously he and George had a good relationship with Tara. So I wanted to make sure that at least I was aligned with Baden before I swap and I potentially get thrown in with him, Kara, and, you know, whoever else. So.
Yeah. No, I totally see that. I mean, last question. Speaking of the swap, we talked about how you got pulled over to the Braun tribe. Like, who did you connect with on that day that you were looking forward to working with that we were then robbed of seeing you work with now?
Yeah, look, I think Simon was a good pickup. He was someone I always obviously had really good banter with. But, like, I think, like, I spent the afternoon with him, and I think, look, to a certain extent, I could have worked with any of them. Like, they all came across, but maybe not Emmett, though, you know, after those... after that little showboating incident. But look, like, to a certain extent, I think they were all really good to work with. I think, yeah, obviously I had great kind of, you know, Simon and I just sort of clicked, and I could definitely see myself working with him. But, you know, Shannon, Flick, some of the, like, those ladies, like, were, you could tell, were just playing a really good game. And I think, you know, they were just good, fun people that I would have loved to work with as well. So, you know, Big Gerald's good fun. So, look, I don't think it would have mattered who I'd ended up in a swap split. I think I could have, you know, I would have backed myself to kind of build relationships on that side as well, because, again, I had a pretty good connection with most of them.
Well, it's upsetting, but it does seem like Hayley took you out at kind of the perfect time for her game. So, you know, credit there, but definitely sorry to see you go. I really enjoyed you on the show, and thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
I had a ball on the show, and I've had a ball on the podcast with you, Shannon. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hi, Shannon. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here.
Oh, Shannon, I have been meaning to talk to you for so long. I love your podcast.
Thank you.
I've heard you say my name a few times, so I'm so happy to be here and talk all things Survivor, because I'm just as much as a fan as you are.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, you are the now supreme Australian Survivor, Shannon. You went on the show, you did extremely well, you were a huge presence. So congratulations on that, on taking it from someone who has never been on the show. I guess that's a huge accomplishment.
Oh my God, thank you so much. I mean, I think you would do just fine in the game, and I would pay big money to see you play it.
Yeah, you believe me, then you would be definitely the supreme Australian Survivor, Shannon, so you could definitely get that. But I have so many questions for you, and of course, you know, you guys are now connected forever in the game and the way we perceive both of your games to be. But I have to ask about your relationship with Simon, this rivalry, this kind of frenemy relationship that you have and that we all enjoyed so much. How did it become this dynamic so quickly, it seemed, as well?
Oh, Shannon, I ask myself that every single day. Look, Simon, we'll have to fill in the blanks, but my take on things was, you know, he came straight in, he quickly formed a physically dominant alliance and he didn't spend time talking to everyone. And as soon as I saw a bit of a gap in the market there, I went for the numbers, you know, socially. And I think instantly he saw me as a threat because I did start to rally the troops and I wanted an all-girls alliance and, you know, to pick off the brawny boys one by one. So, you know, when it came to merge, we could be physically on par with each other. I think that would have been epic. And also I'm such, you know, an advocate for empowering women. So I hope it's a women's year this year. But when it came to Simon, I think, yeah, we both identified that we were going to play hard, but he just forced my hand a lot quicker than I wanted to. I wanted to sit in the middle for a bit and play that kind of model card for a while until I could play my own game and make some moves. So, yeah, I'd be interested to know what Simon says too. But coming out of the show, yeah, we've been on calls and we've texted and, you know, we're on socials. So, yeah, there's still a bit of chatter going along. But yeah, he's a super fan just like me, and I think our games just got a bit muddled and we should have worked together. Why did we not do that? I tried, son, and I tried.
Yeah, I mean, how spoken was the rivalry? Because you are, you know, trying to work with him at points. We saw last night that you were trying to get him on the Chelsea vote and talking to him about the plan. Was it like the spoken thing that you guys just knew you were coming for each other, or were you trying to all pretend that everything was good and let's kind of put the past in the past?
As soon as I saw that first tribal play out and I was my name in the urn and I got to live to fight another day, I knew I had to be on the defense. But at the same time, I identified Simon as a bit of a leader and maybe in a way a shield to me. And he was great at strategizing and challenges and, you know, allowing us to win. So I kind of wanted him close, but also needed to keep him far enough that he wasn't going to mess with my gameplay. And then you see that Benny vote go up in the air and, you know, Big D, you know, just flooded with the numbers. And I didn't get Simon at that point. But then I ended up going, you know what, I don't want to go to Rocks.
Right.
Let's just save Simon. I will tell him, you know, tomorrow that I think I've just saved you. You owe me one. Let's work together. Like, get off my back until merge and then we'll, you know, fight to the death. And we did actually shake on it behind the scenes and we just went silent. And I think we just gave each other a reprieve until we both saw an advantage to go for each other in my eviction. So,
yeah,
there's pros and cons to keeping Simon.
Right, because I wanted to ask about that Benny vote, because we see you talking to the girls like before tribal council in front of everyone, and it seemed like quite a vocal tribal council as well. And then you do end up voting for Simon, and Dany is the one who flips. So was that kind of all for show, or were you really on the fence with it? Like, talk us through how vocal that tribal council was.
It was the first time I realized that we had a voice in tribal. Like, we could pull each other aside, talk behind the torches. You know, it wasn't, you didn't have to go in there with one plan. You could change it very quickly by sitting there and pulling each other to the back row. And as I walked in, I thought about it more and more, and I just knew Dany didn't want to side with us because he wanted to keep physically fit. When you're comparing Simon against Benny, Dany is going to save Simon, and that's where his head was at. And so the numbers were then out of whack, and I had to just bring everyone together and go, are we doing this? Like, these are the pros and cons again of this move. And Big D just wouldn't budge on it.
Right.
So I didn't want to go to Rocks. It was going to get to that. And I just said, look, I'm just going to save Simon and we'll just deal with him tomorrow. Not knowing that he was on a bit of an idle spree, shopping around, picking up two. And yeah, I think Gerald got a bit annoyed by that and his emotions had to be put into check a little bit. And it got very muddled very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, a difficult one, of course, if your hands are tied, if Dany won't budge there for sure. I mean, I want to talk about some more actively positive relationships that you had. We saw you form the Australian Coven with Kez and Flick and these other relationships with Gerald, for example. Can you talk us through how those bonds were so close, or why those were your allies?
I knew straight away my strategy was to be buddy-buddy with the girls, however many, and it just stuck with Kez and Flick. We just got on so well. We had so many common conversations and ideas and ways to move forward in the game. And at the same time, you know, we all shared a voice. We weren't dictated by one or the other. I know I was the poster girl for that alliance, but I really enjoyed working with them and not being, you know, told my marching orders and vice versa. So, yeah, I think I've made lifelong friends with them. And gaining Big D, you know, he's this big bronster on the outside, but, you know, a teenager on the inside. He's one of the girls in a sort of aspect to his own right. He really got along with us. And then gaining Gerald, he was fiercely loyal. Fiercely loyal. I've never met anyone like him, and I just would never break his trust. And I communicated that to him, and yeah, I felt like I had the numbers, son, mm-hmm. and I felt like I was on top of the game. And just a few crazy tribals just unhinged me, and you know, dropping the bus at Tribe Swap, it just blew up my game.
Yeah, I mean, look, you had a really fun alliance. There are definitely a few characters that we really enjoyed. The Tribe Swap was messy. I want to get to it. And before we do, as you said, you wanted kind of girl strong. Janelle was on that train as well. Let's do all the girls. Let's take out Emmett early. And it felt like you had a lot of control in this vote. Firstly, did you? And if so, why did you go with Janelle and not Emmett?
Firstly, absolutely love Janelle. She was definitely a part of our alliance. It was just, you know, the brawn thing in that first challenge where, you know, she convinced us she was good with the puzzle. She was going to nail it. You know, that was her strength. And she couldn't handle it under pressure. And that puzzle really screwed her over. So the numbers were all on her. And, I don't know what happened, but I also put Janelle's name in because I had an inkling I was going to be in there too. So, it was a weird one, but you also see, well, actually you don't see, oh, that's a scoop. I actually stood up for Janelle against Emmett in Tribal, and I just didn't like the way he spoke to her, and I fully backed her. And, you know, Tribal's all about friendly sparring. It's ideas, it's strategies. It shouldn't have been personal, and it started to taper into that. So, I didn't make the edit, but I definitely backed Janelle, even though I had to send her home. I really felt for her, and I have a real soft spot for mums. And yeah, she was a strong woman in her own right, but it was just a move that made sense at the time.
Yeah, I mean, look, it sounds like it was a bit of a strength thing, which I guess makes sense on the first vote of Braun. But yeah, definitely kind of set the tone, maybe, and then it was just all hell breaking loose from there. And then, okay, the swap, you got Simon, you're like tentatively working together, you told him about the Chelsea vote, which I thought was quite, you know, that ended up being an important move, and you're also trying to get him to flush his idol. So talk us through everything that was happening with Simon last night that leads to the divide, and how you're kind of trying to cut him off at the knees while still working with him, which is something you've described.
Yes. Oh, so this was where my head was at. I'm just going to
yes,
spit
I
it
love
out
that.
There.
Everything. Yes.
Yeah. So here's the scoop. Okay. Let me just take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
So there was four brains in camp, and Flick and myself could have swung over and made the majority, or we could have kept Braun strong. What I liked about us moving to the brain side is obviously we're going to put a little kink in Simon's three. By doing so, I was going to say that, well, I did say to Haley, let's put three votes on Simon and three votes on Chelsea. So combined, we are six votes.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Let's split that.
Learned a lot
Simon
about the 3-3-3 split this week. Yeah, definitely.
Yes. So then I would have flushed Simon's idol and then got Chelsea out. But in the return of that, I told Braun, so Simon, Danny, and Chelsea to vote Haley, ultimately flushing her idol. If I could have pulled off this move, I would have flushed two idols and evicted Chelsea and still been in a majority. And that's where the move got muddled, because you have no time before Tribal to scramble and have these discussions and just make a clean, clean execution of it. And, you know, it just, I got to Tribal and it unhinged me, and I saw it all falling apart. And I think I have a shit poker face, to be honest, because I was testing Simon. I was saying, Simon, you've got a moment here where we can band together. You know, we don't really need Chelsea, come to us. And he obviously went off and squealed, which, you know, didn't really surprise me, but it was a test in its own right. And looking back, Haley just, you know, split us apart, and she did so, so well. And she did that pain researcher thing where she, you know, placebo affected us and like ruptured us and told us how to feel. And And it worked. And I give her kudos to, you know, owning that tribal. It was all hers.
Yeah. I mean, what were you reading in the Simon and Chelsea relationship that you're talking to Simon about voting for Chelsea? Because, like, we see them as extremely tight. They've obviously voted together a lot. Did you feel like he would really connect to you in that way over her?
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping so. I thought he would identify that, you know, if we work together, we would be a force to be reckoned with. You don't need Chelsea, because at this point in the game, we don't really see Chelsea. She's not doing much. She's not actively playing. You know, I just thought, you know, I was, you know, boosting up his ego a little bit and ruffling his feathers. And I was saying, you're a big player. Let's combine forces. Let's dominate the game. You know, we're not here just to, you know, have a few friends. Like, let's get going. And I also looked at Danny. I really liked Danny. She's a bit of the neck to the head that is Simon. She's twisting and turning it in a direction that is, you know, is hers. And she's playing her own game, using Simon as a shield. And I recognized that from where I was sitting. And I was like, you stay there, you stay put. You know, I'll eventually find you in the game, but I know you've got Simon at some point. And, you know, Chelsea, do we really need her? Like, you know, maybe I could win Danny over as well, but I really underestimated their bond and their closeness. And yeah, it was just didn't work in my favor.
I mean, the way that we see it with the brains that came into the tribe, like, they can really go with you on that plan, and they can go with, they did end up going with Simon and his allies against you. What were your relationship with some of those brains, and why do you think that they didn't go with your side?
I don't think I won Andrew over. So I think you see Haley saying it's a democracy.
Yeah.
You guys tell me who you want to vote, because she's also protecting herself. She doesn't want to come out as this dictator as well. So for me, I think the downfall was Andrew, and he recognized, you know, me as more of a threat than Simon. And, you know, Simon had the power of two idols, and I don't know where his head was at with that one. But, you know, with Wei, I did win her over. I helped her in challenges. I really boosted her up. I got on with her. I thought, I'm loving her journey and this voice she's creating for herself. And her growth has been wonderful to watch. So I felt like I had Wei in my corner. And then when it came to Haley and Baden, I think Baden is just sitting in the ranks. He's just, you know, going with the numbers, and that's his survival technique. And I just knew Haley was a big player, and I was trying to win her over and smooth with her and say, you know, play with me. Let's go against Simon. He's got two idols and too strong in his alliance. So what's the better option, Haley? Do you want me or do you want Simon? And you know, ultimately, you know, they had the numbers. Two immune, one with an idol. And I had no pulling power at that point.
Yeah. Okay. Really difficult one. I mean, the whole thing, what you went through last night really was just a huge roller coaster. I mean, talk about like a ridiculous boot episode. And the last question I have is that we see that for some reason, the four people who want immunity are now in control of who goes between you and Laura. And we see that Simon kind of speak up and put the nail in the coffin, which for me was confusing. I was like, who was allowed to talk at this, you know, vote? So is there more there that we didn't see? Did you kind of advocate for yourself, or was it kind of just slipping out of your fingers in this insanely, ridiculously confusing twist that we saw?
It was a tough one. Two tribals, four immune. There's three idols in my camp. It was so hard to maneuver. And if with my move, I tried to control the vote. And to be honest, I wish I just kept my head down and just stayed brawn strong. But, you know, I gave it a shot, and I you know, played how I wanted to play. But, look, it happened so quickly. It really did sum up very quickly. What you don't see is Emmett turns around to his tribal and, you know, goes, you know, let's make it a group vote. Does everyone think we should save Shannon or Laura? And majority of his tribe, you know, Brains 2.0, put up their hand. I won Kara over. Kara had influence on George. You know, I had Gerald over there. I had Kez over there. So Emmett originally did advocate to save me. And so when Simon then goes, you don't know the half of it, I just didn't think quick enough to go on the defense and say, well, Emmett, I don't know, we're playing the same side. We both want, you know, Simon out. I knew Emmett deep down didn't like how Simon was controlling the game. And then, you know, with Wei, you know, convincing Emmett, you know, let's just go with Laura. It just slipped out of my fingers. It happened so quickly. It was like, you just black out in that tribal, and before you know it, you wake up and your torch is being snuffed, and it's electrifyingly quick. And if Jonathan had prompted me and just gone, Shannon, you know, do you want to pitch for your life? I would have just snapped out of it and just gone for it. And I know in my gut, I could have turned that around and convinced those four that I was an advantage for them, that they were all about to win, you know, an ally in me if you were going to save me. And, you know, if I was going to go to fire, you know, if you were on the fence about it, send me to fire because I will earn my spot back in. Not many people know I did survival courses to be prepared to come into the game. I knew how to do flint work. I knew how to make a fire. I was burning paper towel in my kitchen sink days before I was getting into the game. So, yeah, I really wanted to at least, you know, have a second go at saving my survivor life. But, oh, I'm sweating just talking about it. It just played out the way it did. And I really hope if I got another shot, I could do a lot better at it.
You did a lot better than Shannon Elkin. So I want to thank you on behalf of Shannon's everywhere that you are the survivor Shannon, the Australian survivor Shannon. And look, you played a big game. And as I've said on the podcast, like, we love to see that from a strong woman. So last night, it went quickly. I agree. It was unprecedented. I can't imagine how I'd react in that situation, but you should be very proud of the game you played, and I love to watch it. So thank you for coming onto the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. Shannon, I love your podcast. I love listening about all things Survivor, and, you know, you're just tapped in. You know how the game goes, and I have so much respect for it. So thank you for your time.
Right, thank you for saying that, and thank you for coming onto the podcast. Have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. There you have it, everyone. Two really cool chats, I thought, with two very big players, two really fun characters. It was very sad, I think, to see both of them go this week, but what a huge week it was. I'm very excited to recap it all with Harry Hills tonight, and hope you'll enjoy all of that. Hope you've enjoyed this, and remember to subscribe to the International Survivor Hapups feed so you don't miss anything, lest I decide to release the Exit Interview podcast individually on a whim like this, then, you know, you don't miss it. Follow me as well at Shannon Gates, and I'll be posting all of that. But really hope you enjoy this podcast, and I hope that you'll join us on the recap as well. Until then, see you next time. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
1 million pounds.
Million euro.
Million
shekels. 1 million.
The adventure of a lifetime.
The adventure of a lifetime.